Good morning, my Walking with Jesus friends. I'm sure you've noticed public opinion can swing wildly from one extreme to another, and in our day, when combined with the powerful influence of social media, oh my, a movement can be launched overnight. Currently, at least in America, there's a powerful reactive movement against anything that even gives a hint of discrimination, especially related to race or ethnicity or sexual orientation. Equality to the extreme has become the popular pandemic. Now think about that statement for a moment. I chose each word carefully, and I think it fairly represents the atmosphere today in America. What do you think? Have you given much thought to what God's perspective is on all this? Listen, from heaven, the Lord looks down on all mankind to see if there are any who understand, any who seek God. That's Psalm 14:2 and Psalm 53:2. What does it mean? The God who created everything, including humanity, is watching to see if anyone understands God's design for humanity and to see if anyone is seeking to know God, seeking to gain his perspective, and seeking to honor God with their life. One reason Eve was created by God from Adam's rib and not his hair or his toenail was, I believe, to show humanity that from God's perspective, men and women have equal value to him and to humanity. They are inextricably linked to each other. The human race cannot function without women or men, each fulfilling their distinctive roles in human society. Men and women complement each other. They fulfill each other, and together, by God's design, they form a tremendous team. Jesus died for the salvation of men and women equally. Remember, Jesus demonstrated value to women and children that was contrary to the cultural norms of that day in first century Roman Empire. Sadly, it's humanity which has terribly distorted what God had put in place as the wonderful design for mutually beneficial, mutually respectful relationships between all men and all women. As we continue our journey with James through his little letter, we come to chapter 2, and amazingly, James deals head-on with this very relevant topic. James 2, verse 1, "My brothers, as believers in our glorious Lord Jesus Christ, don't show favoritism." Well, that's straightforward, isn't it? Why would James write this? Because first century Roman Empire and 21st century, wherever you live in our world, are very, very similar. In every society, people are treated differently according to perception. Those perceived to be important or wealthy or powerful are shown much more favor and respect than the poor or disabled or disadvantaged or even simply an average person, right? But James throws out a great challenge: no favoritism. Now stop and think about your city, your society for a moment. Where do you see favoritism on display? And what if suddenly favoritism stopped? What would change where you live? James gives a very specific and relevant example in James chapter 2, verse 2 and 3, when describing how people are perceived and treated by the clothes they wear. I think we could also add their jewelry, or their sunglasses, or their shoes, or hats, or handbags, or especially by their home or their transportation, right? Is that true where you live? Then James says, "Have you not discriminated among yourselves and become judges with evil thoughts?" James 2:4. Oh my, discriminated? Judges with evil thoughts? That's right off the front page of every newspaper over the past year, isn't it? Friends, do you see how relevant the Bible is? That's because God is relevant, and that's because God is the source, the origin of all, and he's paying close attention to all that is happening among us. We, the human race, are designed and created by God. Furthermore, God designed humanity to function in ways that work well. But oh, how selfish, prideful, arrogant humans have distorted what God designed so perfectly. So James is calling us back to the divine engineer to understand how to correct our malfunctions. Will we? James next writes, "Listen, my friends, has not God chosen those who are poor in the eyes of the world to be rich in faith and to inherit the kingdom he promised to those who love him?" James 2:5. Now what does that mean? Was there ever a time in your life when you didn't know where your next meal was coming from, or if you'd have a roof over your head next week? As some of you know, I grew up in the poorest country in the Western Hemisphere, and then I lived there as an adult missionary. I've seen poverty at the extreme, in a place where there was no such thing as food stamps, or welfare, or Social Security, or food pantries, or homeless shelters. In that place of mud huts and grass roofs, and no clean potable water, and no medical care, and no paying jobs, there was hope. I heard them singing at night and praying before daylight. Their hope was in their Creator, their Savior Jesus, even in their poverty. They believed God saw them, God understood their plight, and God cared about them. They also looked forward to heaven with the deepest faith I've ever seen. These dear people were not panicked about appearances or popularity or power. These dear people either lived by great faith in Jesus or in the desperation of hopelessness and despair found when rejecting God. I learned about the power of James 2:5 in that place. Poverty, undiagnosed illness, war, huge natural disasters, crime, etc. These all create a sense of instability, unpredictability, insecurity, loss of control, and fear. In that fearful place, people either turn to God in great faith, and they often experience His great power at their point of need, or they turn away from God to the government or charities or anyone who they think can help them temporarily. Has that ever been your experience? Look around you. Do you see most people in great need desperately seeking the help of social programs of the government or charitable organizations or handouts from churches or generous people rather than seeking God and His help? It's amazing, isn't it, that even in desperation, some people would rather starve than seek God. Why? It's the bondage of our selfish, self-reliant, sinful nature. It's the dark kingdom working hard to keep people deceived and enslaved. I think we'll stop right here for today. Let's hear it again. James 2:5. Has not God chosen those who are poor in the eyes of the world to be rich in faith and to inherit the kingdom He promised to those who love Him? Do you consider yourself to be self-sufficient, government-reliant, or are you rich in faith in God and looking forward with great anticipation to that day when you see Jesus face to face and step into your glorious inheritance in the kingdom of God, which God has reserved just for you? I think the Apostle Peter may have been reflecting on James 2:5 when, led by the Holy Spirit, Peter wrote his first letter. Listen to 1 Peter 1:3-5. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In His great mercy, He has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus from the dead, and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade, kept in heaven for you, who through faith are shielded by God's power. Oh my, when you put the words of James and Peter together, they provide very powerful hope, don't they? My friends, is it your hope? Have you trusted Jesus with your today and your eternity so that you can claim these verses for you? Now, again, I have a wonderful celebration song to help you embrace these great truths today. And God bless you as you worship.